Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's a very familiar scripture. It is number 3 in our principles. Right, Ed? What's our first one? That's right. Seek ye first. We're talking about church priority. And today we will finish T and Y. Why? Because we love you. I'm a Masketeer. No, it's Masketeers. No. For you, Dory? Just for you?
You would think. I watch cartoons all day.
Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will. Today, T is thought life. The thought life of the church is no different than the thought life for the individual. Okay. And remember, I've been telling you that lately we have not been able to tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore because we have too much of the world and its thinking and its philosophy and its actions appropriated in the church. And it has been such a subtle deception that we haven't seen how far away we've gotten. And we have to understand that the way a person thinks is the way that they will behave, the way they act. And the pressures of our lives only bring out the junk that's in our lives so that God can fill it more with Himself. Thereby, if we're under intense pressure, which some of us have been for several weeks, my life, several years, you just get used to it. Some of us have not learned the lesson of Romans 12, one, which is presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your unreasonable service. Okay, reasonable service. It's what God expects of us. But when we begin to contrast how a believer is supposed to live, how the church is supposed to be, we find a large disparity in that frame of mind. We tend to say, well, I act this way in front of pastor, and when I go home, I live another way. And what we are doing is we're giving a black eye to our Lord because He's the head of the church, we are His body, and He's not schizophrenic. He knows exactly who He is, He knows exactly what He wants to do, and He knows exactly how His people should be behaving, speaking, walking, talking, thinking, as a man thinks in his heart that he is. We begin to understand that we have a long way to go. Okay? Individually and collectively. But I think something has to happen before we get to that place. And one of these things is that into transforming one's thought life, we generally read the Word and we meditate upon it. But that's not the end of the story. And I think we get those two sections really well. We read the Word. Oh man, you should have seen what, you know, I read 30 chapters last night, Pastor. Great. What are you walking in? Oh, but I meditated on the Word of God. Great. What are you walking in? Well, what do you mean? You see, the whole action that we're talking about here is that to be transformed by the renewing of our mind must mean that we must have a kingdom thought. And that kingdom thought translates into our life. But if it doesn't translate into our life and doesn't translate and transform us in action, word and deed, we are no different than the world. And that's what we have. We have people that are reading the Word, meditating upon the Word, but they are not living the Word. The total process for us is to read, to study, to show ourselves approved, and to act by putting into action by faith what we have learned. Now, what has happened in the church is there's this great lie that goes in alongside of this, and it's very much been infested by the traditional church. It's the pastor who goes to the seminary. It's the pastor who does everything. It's the pastor who does this, who does that, and all. And as we've seen through the scriptures, that's not necessarily true. And what we have to understand, that to live a life in the Spirit, requires each and every one of us doing our job. But life in the Spirit doesn't work in a way that we try to understand first and then do it. Faith tells us we do it and understanding comes. How many of us would give an amen to that? That's really the basis for it. It is totally opposite of what we are accustomed to. And me being one of those types of guys, I need to know the nuts and bolts of something before I go forward. I have struggled all my life that when God tells me to do something, I have one or two responses. I either accelerate by faith and drag everybody along, or I need the nuts and bolts so I can understand why God's got me to do this. And my job is not to ask why. It's to be obedient to what the Spirit is leading us to do, because understanding will come. As I said last week, Joshua is the book of taking the land, taking the inheritance. And there's a great passage that we could see that deals with reading, studying, and doing the Word of God, or becoming the living Word of God. Turn to Joshua 1. We'll start in verse 7 and read through verse 9. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. And you know, when God speaks, we better pay attention to what He says. He says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, or to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We all want success, don't we? All of us want success. But the problem is, we don't want the success that God wants us to have. We want to do it our way. And in this society that we live in, it's have it your way. You know, do it your way. There's no other way but your way. And we know that the scripture says everybody did what was right in their own eyes. But for the church doesn't have that. The church can't do what it feels like. The church can't do and become something that is something other than what God has designed it to be. And so it is responsibility not only the leaders to read the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God and implement it. It is the responsibility of the church to be constantly in the Word, constantly studying, constantly growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, so that we can have whatever we want. No? So that we can have the desires of our heart. You start to get it now. We get the success that He wants us to have. You see, each one of us, whether you understand it at all or don't understand it, is you are already a success. Because you took the biggest step of faith in trusting in God for eternal life. And from that, He wants His Spirit that has come into us to come out of us. But if we are not thinking kingdom, we are not talking kingdom, we are not trying to grow in understanding who we are as people of the King and people of His kingdom, then we're missing some great, great lessons in our lives. And we will continuously go around the mountain until we learn those lessons that God has designed for us to have good success. Now, understand, he first tells Joshua to be careful to obey. And a lot of us hear the Word of God, and we know what the Word of God says, but we're not obedient to the Word of God. So immediately, will we have good success? No, we will not. And if we understand the principles of sowing and reaping, the further we continue in our disobedience, eventually that crop will come to pass, and eventually that crop that does come comes out of our disobedience, and we don't like what we receive. And so we blame God. When God says, if you did it my way, you would have some 30, some 60, some 100-fold in return. And it is a process that takes time. And I've said to you before, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give it to you. You don't have to create something in order to have it. God will freely give it to you as long as you do it His way. Amen? If you're struggling in finances, it's because you're not willing to do what God says to do. That's just plain and simple. Didn't Jesus say that in this life we would have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and houses and lands? In this life and in the life to come? Did He not say that? But there is a criteria that He sets before us. In order for us to have that, we have to do it His way in order to do it. And it all starts in how we think. What do you think about? Do you think about the bills that you can't afford to pay? Or do you think about how God is going to bless you because you have been blessing people all along and that He'll meet that need? It's how you think about stuff. For us, in the longest time, coming in here, the biggest thing that we learned, the first lesson that I learned was about kingdom finances. And I learned that, you know what, tithing. And we hear all about the tithing stuff, but I could tell you this. I started by giving. I gave God what was left over. And as I learned and I grew, that I found out that He wanted first fruits. And then I learned what first fruits were, and I learned that, and I began to apply it. Was it scary? Yeah. Didn't God tell Joshua, do not be afraid, be courageous? Isn't most of the time that we're disobedient to God is because we're afraid? And when we're afraid, we're actually saying, I don't trust you, God. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. He knows that you have bills. He knows that you have difficulties. But He also knows that He wants to build your faith in Him. And if you don't do it the way He wants it, guess what? You have what you have because of your obedience or disobedience to Him. It is really that simple. And doesn't He tell Joshua that I'm going to be with you wherever you go? In other words, what He's saying is, I'm going to see what you're doing. I'm going to watch what you're doing. I'm going to be there. But if you don't invite me in and do the things I've told you to do, don't expect good success. It all starts with how you think about things. And the more I started thinking about how God wants to bless me, then He showed me how that blessing comes along. As I see a need, as he works through the Holy Spirit and begins to reveal needs to me, I start giving to those needs, whether it's out of my own personal abundance or out of the the storehouse in which I was tithing at the time. Whatever it is, I'm to go and meet that need. But if I'm still holding on to what I think is right, guess what? You won't prosper. You won't have good success. If anything, that which you have shall be taken from you and given to another. Isn't that what He told us? I want for Streams to have every blessing that God wants to have. That's my heart's desire, is that every blessing be imparted to you so that you can benefit, but also bless others. Not in a way that's a bless me fellowship type of thing, but one to say, you know what, God has blessed me because of my faithfulness to Him and His Word. I understand what He's saying. I believe it. I'm going to take the next step of faith and move out further. I'm going to walk on water, as Peter did, not looking at the storm in my life, but looking at God who is able to calm those storms and meet those needs through my obedience and walk in this faith. You see, the church, and this is one reason why leaders are really important to be into the Word, and also the reason why the people of God should be in the Word, is that where do the leaders come from? Come from within. But if we're so busy outsourcing to cemeteries and religious schools, how are those individuals going to be able to relate to the things of God when they're filled up with a bunch of knowledge, but have no experience of the Spirit of God within that local fellowship? Can you begin to understand that the way things happen is from within? God wants to grow from within out of us. He wants to grow within the midst of us out to touch the community. But if we're so selfish and prideful and arrogant and blind not to understand how the church flows as a local expression of God, we have more to learn than what we have realized. All these lessons we learn individually is eventually supposed to work collectively for us. Our storehouse should not be empty. Our storehouse should not be a place where it's barren, that when someone comes for need and they open it up and we have nothing for them, that is an accusation against us as a people and against God. Our thinking has to consume our hearts and minds. To profess Christ in faith and still be living as He doesn't exist, we're called Christian atheists. That's the modern term today. Did you know that? You believe in God on Sunday, but you live the rest of the week like He doesn't exist. And then when those trials and tribulations come in and you're at the end of your rope, don't wonder why you're at the end of your rope. Because you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. Because your disobedience separates you from the sacrifice and success that Jesus has already appropriated for us. The church needs to get her thought life renewed and purified so that she can have good success. And I'm not saying that here we're not having good success. We're having good success. I want the best that God has for us. And so our steps are deliberate. Our steps are by faith. We're believing God as He provides us opportunity. And the leaders have been stepping out in faith in areas they never thought about in the last 3 years. We talked about the finances of the church and how God has tremendously blessed us because of our faithfulness to do it His way. And I don't want this to be something that we're having a cow about, but just look at your life and look at what's going on in your life and see how the church is moving. Could it possibly be that my disobedience to God is hindering us from moving forward in the things that of God? Yes, it is. It is possible. Remember the story of Achan? When he took the gold and the stuff and he hid it? And the next city that Joshua was going to take, got his butt beat? Why? Because of one individual's disobedience. The church could not advance in taking its inheritance. Philippians 4, 8 through 10 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, in anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And God of peace will be with you. It's no different than what he said to Joshua. Paul is saying this. Be in the Word. Think in the Word. Meditate on the Word. Live the Word. Oh, I'm doing everything I know to do. Are you being what God has said for you to be? I rest my case. If you're not living by faith, you're not who you are. And you're living below the success that God has ordained for you to have. Why? Why is yielding? Yielding. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Individually, he has paid for us. In communion, we acknowledge that. But collectively, as a local assembly, he has paid for each and every one of us to come together. Man is a triune being. He has a spirit. He has a soul, and he has a body. Now, most people in the church only talk about two areas. They talk about man's body, and they talk about his soul, and they think the spirit is synonymous with soul. It is not. It is not. Believers who are marginally having success in their lives have grown to understand that God has purchased them in totality. God bought you body, soul, and spirit. He owns you. He owns me. Thereby, if I want to have good success and receive to myself, I must be in the Word. I must have my thought life correct. I must be doing the things that God has instructed me by faith that become part of me. Because now I have a divine nature. I have a divine spirit. I am a supernatural being. I cease from doing. I speak those things that are not as though they are, just like my Father does. To him who believes, all things are possible. And it is predicated on your faith. If you are not trusting God in the meagerly things of the world, whether it's how to give, how to serve, how to love, these are meagerly things, we will not understand the greater things of God, which is how to call down help from heaven, how to appropriate that which God has designed for streams to have. How are we going to be able to begin to start calling those things from heaven and having them manifest here on earth? It all starts in how we think. Here. Not here. Do you think with your heart or do you think with your head? And that has to deal with our yielding. Yielding in an area that we have success is because we have understood that we are being Christ-like, not Christ-like doing. We are Christ-like beings. Okay? How do we respond when we're confronted by someone in love who is trying to get us to understand their struggles in relating? This is very, very important that we understand how we are to relate to each other. And how I respond in relating to that. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, this couple come to me and they had a problem. And they had a problem with me specifically. And it was very, very difficult for them to come and talk to me about this. And so, after service, we sat down and they talked. And my heart was just literally broken. Not because of anything, but I had the Spirit of Christ's heart coming out from me because it was not my intent to hurt anyone. And I saw how difficult it was for them to come to me, because in their mind, here's the pastor. He's sitting up here. And he's given us permission that when we have difficulty to come talk to him. And the struggle is beyond measure. And I listened to their heart. I wasn't listening to what they were saying directly, but I was listening to their heart, what they were saying to me. And immediately I broke out in tears. I repented before them. I asked for forgiveness. Why? I could care less about the title. I could care less about my reputation. What was more important was that we be reconciled. And if I thought anything less, I could have said, well, that's your problem. That's not my problem. Pray about it and get over it. How prideful and arrogant is that attitude? I need to yield myself like Christ does. Christ didn't have an evil thought. But what we do is we become fearful that someone who is trying to share something with us, we immediately build up this wall. We have a little gate in which we'll peer through the window, but we will not take ownership. The church has to take ownership of yielding, or the lack of yielding, the heart of Jesus Christ to the world. It is so easy for us to give money so that someone else does it. It's so easy for us to give goods and clothing and whatever things that we have. They're material things. But it cost us personally when we yield our soul and our spirit to Christ and begin to act and become like Jesus Christ. And that's the reality that is missing in the church today. Do we yield to reconcile and restore? We yield to those who are outside of Christ because we know that's what's to be done. But what about yielding to those in Christ? To me, it was a small matter with this couple. And they've left the church since. Because they had other problems. No, they didn't. They're still here. But I really believe that because I want the heart of Christ, I want that to exude from me. That, you know what? Nothing's more important to me than the relationship. That was how important it was to Christ. To restore the relationship that we gave away in the garden, and He paid to restore us back. That's what it means to yield. Listen to this, Galatians 6, 1. Brothers, if you're caught in a sin, you who are more spiritual should restore him gently. Be watchful yourself where you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens in a way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, his motives, his thoughts, everything. Do we consider and prefer someone who is struggling in an area? Or do we blow it off? Do we not only blow them off, but do we run to someone else and say, hey, you know, this person's got this going on. Do you believe this? You know, I don't do that. The reality of it is we do. We're blind to that. And God wants us to yield to our pride and arrogance and put it down and kill it so that the Spirit of Christ can come forth. If we don't do that, then why are we assembling as a church? Why are we trying to reach those in the community? Why? Because the Spirit of God is compelling us. He never sleeps or slumbers. He will arrest us one way or another to do His will. And it starts with the way we think till eventually we die to what we want for what He wants. He loves us too much. And He showed that love by demonstrating it and dying on a cross while we were sinners. We were hostile against Him. And yet, we come with this mindset that if a brother or sister comes to us, we immediately build up this wall of fear to protect ourselves when really God wants to blow that wall apart and have a heart of compassion? Did he truly hear what's going on in this person's heart, in this spirit? We need to repent of being a stumbling block. We are not too big to repent. And when we flop it off and just ask for forgiveness, that only means we got caught, but we're not taking ownership. We have this quiet indifference towards a brother and a sister that we show to them out there. When really, remember, I've said to you that your first ministry is where? In your home. Streams is your home. Your first ministry is here. It goes from the individual to your families, and it is brought in here to go out there. Are you beginning to see the picture of why it is such a priority for the church to be the church of Jesus Christ? Not the church of the world, not the church of the Latter-day Saints, not the church, the worldwide church of that nitwit in Korea. We are to be the church of Jesus Christ, exuding His heart, exuding His spirit, exuding everything, and it doesn't matter what it costs us. If it costs our reputation, but we save a relationship, it is worth it. If it costs us our jobs, it doesn't matter. God spoke to me, and you've heard me talk about this brother in the Lord that I've had problems with through the years. And he's a very difficult individual. And this one day I'm saying to the Lord, you know, God, why don't you just have him retire, do something? And I'm going off on this tangent, and God says, he's my servant too. Oh man, I was like crushed. I was crushed. Because what I was no different than how the world acts by putting down somebody, and I didn't cover him in love. I just saw the difficulties that he was creating for me. Failing to love him, failing to pray for him, failing to bless him. Have you ever been crushed in that way? That's what communion is supposed to be like. That God has crushed our pride and arrogance in such a way that we yield by the Spirit to allow Him to flow from us. I was crushed the day I repented to my son. He was 8 years old, and asked for forgiveness when God showed me that I was in his face screaming the day before, and here my heart was filled with love, and I repented to an 8-year-old child who said, Dad, I love you, and I know God's going to change you. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you. Even now, to this day, almost 30 years later, to think about what God has done in my life to restore my family because I wanted to do it His way. Who has blessed me where I was on the brink of declaring bankruptcy. But I went and looked at my finances and saw that I wasn't doing it His way. To the place where living with people, that my family began to prosper. Not because of me, but because of my willingness to yield in totality to God. If you do this, if you begin to examine yourselves and really deal with the issues at hand that God wants, Streams will become that powerful church that I know He has designed us to become. Discipleship is not a process in which we get to tell everybody. What we do is a process to help everyone. We don't want anybody lacking. We don't want anybody not being blessed. We don't want, because I'll tell you, I want it to be like Egypt and Goshen. When the curses and the problems came upon Egypt, Goshen prospered. because that's where the people of God were. And as the days are growing darker, we've got to burn brighter. And the people have to see a distinct difference in the reality of our faith in Jesus Christ from those who just lay claim to it. Change the way you think. Yield to the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of Christ can come from you. He is your hope of glory. He is my hope of glory. And realize that there is nothing more important than the restoration and reconciliation of relationships. And if it means we have to eat crow to do it, it's well worth it. Because there's one that we stole from darkness and brought into the light. And your reward is great in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I've been obedient to give the church its priorities. And I've tried to show how our individual lives affect the life of the church and what you want. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to change. Help us to be that which you have created us to be. Help us that once we step out in faith to become that which you have called us so that we may have what you have desired to give to us freely. Build our faith. Help us to value each other. Help us not to point the fingers at the sin issues, but recognize the weaknesses of each other and that we come alongside in love. Father, you say some very difficult things that are designed to crush our pride, take the scales from our eyes so that we can see clearly. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that we not be a church that only speaks and does whatever it feels like. That we be a church that is totally in sync with your Spirit, walking in truth and obedient to your leading, God. That this world will see truly a church that follows after you, no matter the cost, even if it costs us our lives. Father, take your place in the midst of the church, that you would not remove our lampstand, but you would set us upon a hill to be a light shining to all those still in darkness. I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.